Do you guys hear that? Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church, in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So one more time, think about your life, think about where you're at, and hear this. Now to him, being Jesus, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Father, we thank you so much for the reality of your word, the reality that you are able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask or even imagine. Let there be a grace in this place just to encounter you, to be filled by you. And Lord, let there be a grace upon each of us just to give you praise, to give you glory, to give you thanks. Father, thank you for the word last week about Thanksgiving, and thank you for Colin's testimony about what's going on in his life. And Father, we want to be a thankful people. We want to focus our hearts and our minds upon all the things that we can be thankful for and to give you praise for. So Father, would you bless this morning? Let there be a grace in this place to worship and praise you. Amen? Let's worship. Father, we, if you would, actually, go ahead and stand back up, sorry. And just open your hands up to the Lord. Father, we just say yes to you. We say yes to your desires, yes to your will in our lives. We just say yes to your goodness. We say yes to the movement of your Spirit. We say yes to the reality that you are able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. We just say yes to your word over and against our circumstances. We say yes to your goodness over and against just the lies that we believe. We just say yes to you, Father. So we ask, would you fill us today afresh? Would you fill us anew today with a revelation of your goodness, with a revelation of your love for us? Would you just open our hearts, remove the things that are on our hearts that keep us from receiving your goodness and your love? Oh, we love you so much, Papa. Thank you for how much you love us. Thank you, Father. Amen. 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 Well, that's a friend, Jeff, who was leading there. Thank you, Jeff. You're a sweet brother. Welcome to the Village Vineyard. If you've not been here, great to have you. If you have been here, it's also great to have you. Well, we went a little long. Normally what I say is we do a little bit of worship on the front end and more on the back end, but we did a little more on the front end, and we'll do a little more on the back end this week. So, let me give a couple quick announcements. One is we're doing a membership class, also called Vision and Values. So I know several of you have been asking when that's going to be. Well, it's going to be the 24th and the 31st. So the last two Sundays of this month. At 3:00, 3 to 5, it'll be in that little fellowship area. And this is just for those of you who want to either officially connect in and say, "Hey, this is my church, and I want to kind of put a stick in the ground," or whatever that analogy is, and say, "Yeah, this is my church." Or some of you who just want to learn more about us. So we'll be doing that the last 2 weeks of Sunday. Want to encourage you to be a part of that. And then finally. Is a men's prayer night. Jeremy leading that up. July 22nd, which would be not this Friday, but the following Friday at 7 p.m. right here. I just love what Jeremy and Sean and Andy, I mean, what they're just stirring stuff up for the men. And just good. Bless you guys. This is good. And we got a men's retreat coming up here in what, October? Last weekend of September, and it rolls over into October. And Andy and his team are putting that together. So, I want to just welcome Carl. Carl's in for a week. If you guys, Carl used to be part of our, yeah. Carl used to be among us, and now he is in Nebraska rocking it for Jesus. He's top of his class as far as schooling goes, and he's leading an international ministry in the church that's there. And a cool little story, he and his team have been ministering to this a Korean woman, a 39-year-old Korean woman who had come back to the States to get another degree. And she was anti-God. Just do not talk to me about God. I believe in the monks. They told my mom about her future. That's what I believe in. Don't tell me about God. And so they were just consistent and loved on her for, you know, the whole semester. And 2 weeks ago, last week, 2 weeks ago, she got baptized. Gave her life to Christ, and she wanted to make a public profession of her faith by getting baptized, and she was done with school. I mean, she was going back to Korea, like done. So it's like, when he was telling me that story yesterday, I was like, man, isn't that powerful? Here, a woman's life and all the ripple effect of her life back in Korea is going to be totally different now as a result of Carl and his team being faithful to just love on, show the love of Jesus, and then she gets saved, you know? Come on, I love that. So, that one couple that I had the prophetic word has been gone the last 2 weeks. They are just missing out. So, oh no, they're right there. Yes, you too. That's awesome. You guys were here last week, or you guys weren't here last week. Not to call you out or anything, but I had a. So what will happen, as soon as the Lord just give me a word out of nowhere for specific people, not because I'm thinking about them or just I'll be praying and the Lord will put someone on my heart. And I'm sorry, I don't have your names down. I should, but I don't. Actually, I won't should myself, but what are your names? Roger and Janine. Okay. The sense that I had for both of you is this is... the season you're in is the exact season you're supposed to be in, and the place that you're in is the exact place you're supposed to be. In the Word, I couldn't remember where it was in the Scripture, but I think it's some of the sick folks that are crying out to Jesus, don't pass us by. Son of David, don't... Okay, cool. So the sense I had was, you know, that you have these folks who are crying out to God, you know, Son of David, don't pass us by. This whole, like, don't pass us by. And I just feel like, and I don't know if that's been a specific prayer, like, Lord, do you see us? Do you know we're here? And I just feel like the Father wants to so speak that he knows you, he knows the season you're in, and you're not behind where you're supposed to be. You're not ahead of where you're supposed to be. You're right where you're supposed to be. And I also sense the specific thing that you're in this season that you're supposed to be really enjoying the rest and the peace of God, and that he is building you in this time, and he really does have a... this is an equipping time. This is an equipping season for you, for what he has for you. And the things that he's put in your hearts that you're longing for, specifically, the sense I had is as it relates to ministry, and as it relates to going into ministry, whatever that means, you know, but you have this real desire to go into ministry. And I just feel like the Father wants to affirm that desire. And again, I don't know you, but the sense I have is that's a real longing, and maybe even a longing you've had for a long time. And you feel like, and the question you've been asking is, are we, Lord, in the right season? Are we doing what you're calling us to do because things aren't clicking the way we want them to click? And I just feel like the Father just wants to so affirm, saying, my son and my daughter, you are where you're supposed to be. I am equipping you, and I'm raising you up for a time that I have set so you can rest and relax. And the last part of it, I felt like the big part of this season is resting and trusting in his timing is a huge piece to what he's doing for both of you. So... seems like it's connecting for you. So let's just extend our hands to them.
And just bless them. Father, we bless this beautiful couple. We bless this man and woman of God who love you, who have such a heart to serve you. And we just commission you into this season of resting, of being equipped, but also resting, that you would know you were in the right place, in the right season, in the right time, and that you could rest in that. So we just speak peace over you in Jesus' name. Amen. Isn't it? The prophetic is so good. You know, I love, God is so good. So, amen. Well, one more thing before Brad comes up. We've got John and Janet went away for 6 months. Don't know if you know that. If you don't know that, you haven't been around. But they went away, and they went to Bethel, a church out in California. And just, they just did everything that Bethel does for like 4 or 5 months, I guess. And so John's just going to share a bit of his, you know what, I'm sorry, I got a break here. Last week, interestingly, this is so cool. So I had those two prophetic words, you guys weren't here, and the other, I don't even remember who I had the prophetic, who? Oh, yeah, yeah. And then I mentioned something about prophetic word, and there we go. Nice. Technical difficulties, the Village Vineyard. So I had mentioned something, and a particular person was jokingly raised their hand and said, I want a prophetic word. And what was so interesting is at the end of the service, the Lord gave me a prophetic word for this guy, and he left. And, well, he's back, and it's Pete, it's for you. And this is what I had. It was really clear, is that there's an evangelist calling in your life, which may sound weird because we hear evangelist and we hear weird. Is all that means is there's a calling upon you to be a fisher of men, that you're to be one that captures the hearts of men, and that it's a calling that's been on your life, and the calls and gifts of God are irrevocable, which means despite or whatever you feel like may not qualify you for that calling, God thinks otherwise. And the strong sense I had for you, Pete, is that this call that's been on your life your whole life has kind of haunted you, because there's this sense of, I've got a call to change the hearts and the lives of men. I have a call upon my life to change the destinies of people. And I just want to say that's a real thing that God has put on you and put in you. And it's an evangelist calling to call people back to God. And I know there's a lot going on with you. I mean, I just heard a little bit, you know, my uncle's best friends with Pete. So I know there's a lot going on with you right now, just as far as a new season. And I believe that this word of the Lord is for you to just meditate on, think on, that there is a call in your life that God is going to empower you to step into. It's not going to be about you rising up in your own strength. So let's extend our hands to Pete. Father, thank you for Pete. Thank you that there is a call that's been on his life from a very young age. I believe you could even look back, Pete, and kind of reflect on your childhood and how you used to, there was this thing on you. And so we speak a blessing over you, Pete, to step into the call and gift of God. And we say it is never too late. It is never too late to step into the gifts and the calling that are on your life. So we bless you to come into that in the fullest way possible. In Jesus' name, amen. So cool you came back. That's awesome. John, so come on up. John's just going to share his, is that bad? Okay. All right. So, yeah, here you go, man.
All right.
Thanks, Joshua. Sorry I'm not as tall as you here. Evangelistic calling, that's incredible. That's awesome. Can you guys hear me on this? Okay. As Joshua said, we just had an incredible, incredible experience there. We were out there for about 5 months, and I don't think I've ever experienced so much of the goodness of God in a five-month period in my entire life. And I'm so glad your brother talked about the goodness of God, because that's exactly what it was. We're just experiencing it constantly, the goodness of God. Realize that, hey, God loves people, and the kindness of God is what leads people to repentance and more. It's more than just repentance. But and we just saw it over and over again, that kindness demonstrated to us. So, I mean, I could tell you God's stories all day. I've tried to, it's like, okay, 5 months worth of stories here in 7 minutes. So it'll be, I'll start my little timer here so that I do not go into Brad's wonderful teaching here. We took this supernatural evangelism class that was very, a la John Wimber, a lot of what John Wimber, the founder of the Vineyard's teaching were. And there was a young man sitting at our table, and the teacher of the class said, how many of you just experienced the love of the Father? And this guy just raised his hand, and I mean, you could just tell he was just like in the presence of God. You know, like you read about the stories of Stephen filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, he just looked like that. He was just glowing. He said, I've experienced the love of the Father. And he was just in so much joy. Well, I found out that this is the guy. He was in the hospital in a coma, getting ready to be taken off life support not much before this time. And two people from this class went and prayed for this guy. Non-believer, doesn't even know God. I'll tell you his story in a second. But he rises out of this coma before they take him off life support. And he just starts, he wakes up out of the coma praising God. Doesn't even know who God is. Wakes up praising God, singing songs. Doesn't even know God. He does now. He gets saved, right? He starts coming to class, and now he just experiences the love of the Father. And we're at his table. He's like, yeah, I used to deal drugs, break into houses, and I used to stab people. You know, I was like, okay, all right. He used to stab people. I'm glad you're not stabbing people now. Now he's got the sword of the Spirit, I guess. He's stabbing people with truth. But just amazing. I mean, this is a dead person, right? And just a couple people just, like, pray for him, you know? Just pray for this guy. And the guy just gets healed and saved. So, I mean, not everybody gets healed. Sometimes it's a prophetic word. Those are beautiful words that we heard this morning. You know, it doesn't always have to be a healing when you go out. And sometimes just a word like that. Like we were ministering this homeless lady. And, you know, when you go out there that much, you start realizing just some people never have anything good said about them. It's like they've heard nothing but bad things about them. You're no good. You're worthless. You'll never amount to anything. This kind of stuff. And just have no idea the power of the words that the Holy Spirit gives you to give to people. You know, I just realized it more and more. You know, you think, okay, no big deal. But, I mean, it's life-changing for somebody. This girl has been called Lonely Girl her whole life, this homeless lady. And that's what she goes by, Lonely Girl, Lonely Girl. Imagine that being called that all the time. Now, you become what you're, if everybody calls you that, right? So, I think we did pray for healing on her, and I think she did get healed of arthritis. It was amazing. We had such a breakthrough in arthritis. Almost everybody with arthritis got healed that we prayed for. It's just something. I was like, I would get happy, you know. I've got arthritis. I'm like, yes, okay. This is good. Let's pray for you, you know. So God gave us a huge breakthrough. So I think she got healed of arthritis. But the main thing was God gave her a new name. We said, you're Joyous Girl now, because she was so happy she got healed. And we said, we're just going to call you Joyous Girl, and that's your new name. And the guy that was with her said, yeah, okay, I'll call her Joyous Girl, too. One of the other homeless guys that was bumming around with her. So, just alive, changed, transformed from God, the Holy Spirit. Because God is good, and he loves people. And he fills us with his love just to leak out and give away. You know, they taught us it was really about just taking risk and going out there. You know, I didn't always know what to say, didn't always know what to do. Sometimes we don't know where to go, who to talk to. But somehow God gets us through and guides us. And when God really gets somebody, it makes up for the rejection, because not everybody welcomes you with open arms when you're, but most people do, but sometimes they don't. And that's just the way it is when you go out. But let me close with this other story. Me and this buddy from New Zealand, you know, we'd gone on a lot of treasure hunts together, but we decided to go to the hospital this time. Like, there's sick people. We just felt led to go there. And so we kind of walked around the hospital. I thought we could go to the emergency room, but they wouldn't let us into the emergency room. They had like a, you know, somebody at the door there to check you in, so they weren't about to let us in there. So we're kind of wandering around. We're like, well, where do we go? Lord, help us. And this guy comes up, and he goes into the church. He goes, yeah, there's some people in a waiting room upstairs. That's a good place to go. Because we're like, there's this hospital. There's like nobody around. I'm like, amazing. So we finally go upstairs to this. It's a surgery waiting room, you know, where people have a loved one that goes into surgery, but they wait there for them. It's not a very big room, and there's maybe about 15 people. And we walk in there, and the atmosphere is just kind of heavy, you know, because people are just kind of, you know, they're worried because their loved ones are in surgery. And So me and this guy just walk in, and the atmosphere's heavy. And we first talk to this lady, and we just tell her, you know, we're ministers. Can, you know, we just start talking to her. Can we pray for you? She said, yeah, she's just had really bad arthritis in her knees, and she can't move very well. And we said, well, we'd just love to pray for you. And it's such a small, it's just like tiny room. So like everybody can hear everything we're saying, okay? So it's like, okay, you know, God's going to touch your arthritis. And there's about 12 people looking at us like, you know, yeah, right. Okay, so, but God is good. And God touches this lady. And her pain goes away. And she starts saying, wow, this is amazing. I had pain all up and down my legs. And I can move now. And I go, well, what couldn't you do before? And she goes, well, I couldn't get up and down at all. I go, well, you want to try it? And she gets down on her knees and gets back up. And she just starts saying, woo, thank you, God. And we just start, at that point, it just broke the atmosphere. And we just start going, woo, thank you, God, in the room. We don't care. Now, at that point now, we don't really care. The fear is gone. The fear, we were fearful when we walked in, but we weren't fearful anymore at that point. And it just shifted everything. And it was like, oh, what's happening here? You know, are they going to come pray for us? So we pray for the next group of people. And they get totally touched and totally blasted. We start prophesying over them. And just this, you just experience this shift, you know, of doubt and unbelief and misery and everything that the devil's about. And it's just like God invades the place, you know. It's just so sweet. It's unbelievable. And the next lady we prayed for had back trouble. And God touched her. And her back got healed. And then my buddy from New Zealand says, you got some hearing aids there. You have trouble hearing. So he's like this real mellow guy. And can we pray for that? So we start praying for her ear. And she goes, oh, my ear just popped. My left ear just popped. We go, really? Can you hear anything? She goes, yeah, I can hear this vending machine there. I couldn't even hear it. I didn't even know it was there before. We go, well, that's good. Okay. What about your other ear? She goes, no. So we start praying, and her other ear pops. She goes, I heard it pop. She pulls her hearing aids out of her ear and goes, I can hear, I can hear, I can hear. And we're just like, yes, God, thank you, God. It's just like, and people in this room just start rejoicing and praising God. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I'm just like, God, this is amazing. You are so amazing. You know, you're way better than I ever imagined, and we just keep getting more blown away by you. So, in closing, the great thing is we all have the Holy Spirit, right? Any of us that know God have the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit wants to just love on people and minister to people. So it's fun just getting filled up. It's all about just getting filled up with His love and giving it away. That's all we do. We just get filled up and give it away and initiate encounter. Help people initiate encounter. Try to take them to the place you were. And, you know, they just really taught us to have fun, not be too serious about it, and just go and pray for people and enjoy. So I love God's stories like this, and I've heard so many. Now I have my own, and my prayer is that each of you will have your own God stories. Okay, you don't need to have me up here. I want you guys to all have your own stories like this of you going out and just people just getting blasted and transformed by God. Amen? Amen. 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 Amen.
Thank you, John. That was rich, man. You know, it's good to hear testimonies like that because it opens up our thinking, helps us break out of small thinking about God. And I'm going to just try and bring us right back into that small thinking right here by, no. Let's talk about, we're going to talk about, and I think I'm going to wrap it up this week, the topic of gossip. Amen. Is that an applause because we're wrapping it up? Is that what? Feeling motivated now. Okay, so this is, I'm a little bit discombobulated because last night I had a message already put together. And then this morning I kind of got a nuance to it that I felt like was from the Lord. So I quickly went, got on my computer, rewrote it. And it wasn't exactly, you know, what I would like it to be because it was so quick this morning, but I just felt like it was more in tune to what God wanted. So I'm like, I'm just going to go with that. And then, you know, I'm praying in the Spirit all morning. Then as I'm driving here and I'm on the freeway, I got a whole new download that I thought was even better, more accurate, a better way to bring it. So I now have slides, and I have two completely different messages. And the slides do not line up with the message, so it's not my fault. It's God's fault. So anyhow, I say all that just to hopefully you'll give me a little bit of grace on this if I seem somewhat discombobulated. All right, so I've been saying for the last couple of weeks that this week was going to be the time when we talk about the why and the when of gossip. The last couple of weeks that we've addressed it, it was really just to raise our awareness of what the Word of God says about it so that we leave that place of excuses. And the fear of God, hopefully, is on each and every one of us about it when we understand how God views it. It is no small thing to Him. It is huge. Now, gossip is the word that I'm choosing, but I could have picked any number of other words that the Bible uses to describe gossip. It does use the word gossip. It also uses slander, perverse tongue, evil speaking, backbiting, talebearer. All these words are used, meaning the same thing. The definition that I've used, just not like the definition, it's a definition, but it's one that I like. I think it's biblically based, and it's simply this. I think I have the definition up there. It is the act of sowing poisonous seeds into the mind of one against another. God hates it. We looked at Proverbs 6 where it says, six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to Him. And that list is a list that's good to pay attention to. To have the fear of God on every single one of those, understanding that our Father says, this is an abomination to me. And the last of that, even though there's actually a couple in there that really are akin to gossip, the last one says, those who sow discord amongst brethren. So that means when you speak a word to one person about another person that is negative, we are sowing discord between brethren. And God says, I hate that. And the reason He hates it is because His entire goal for us is to unify us and to bring us into His love. And gossip is a complete contradiction to love. It is the enemy. It is the arch enemy of love. So, the whys and the when. We're going to talk about it a little bit today. Why do we do it? And then, when is it okay? Not necessarily to gossip, because it's never okay to gossip, but when is it okay to talk to somebody else about a problem that we have? Because I know there are times where we feel like we really need to talk to somebody else. So how do we do that and not violate what the Word says is gossip or slander or evil speaking? Amen? So that's what we're going to address today. Father, I pray for Your hand on this message. I pray for Your anointing on me and on everyone's hearts right now, Father, that our hearts would just be ready, open, ready to receive the engrafted Word of God, which is able to save our souls. Lord, let Your heart be made known today, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, first of all, why? Why do we gossip? The four main reasons that the Bible seems to bring out as to why we gossip. Number one is unforgiveness. Two is envy. Three is self-promotion. And four is what the Bible even calls busybody. Meddling in other people's business. In other words, you don't really necessarily have unforgiveness towards anyone. You just want to talk about them. So that would be what the Bible calls being busybody. First one, and this is where I made some changes this morning and then on the way here. Instead of addressing this, I already kind of had an inclination of this yesterday, but it just became even more crystallized in my thinking today, that instead of focusing too much on this, and I'm going to talk about them a little bit, I want us to step back and get a bigger picture of this whole thing. I think it's actually far more powerful. It'll be more helpful to help us not do this. But talking about why do we do it in the first place, it helps a little bit to address it. Number one, unforgiveness, probably the principal reason why we gossip, is when we feel hurt by somebody. And it drives us to want to go and talk to other people about that person, because we feel hurt. And so why do we go to talk to someone else about that hurt? because we want them to join us in hating that other person. Maybe hate's too strong, but at least not liking them as much as they do now. Because I want you to join me, right? We want them to agree with us. It helps us feel better. If someone else agrees with us that what they did is wrong. Envy, why? The envy part is when, you know, we may not have any unforgiveness towards someone, but we see someone who is blessed or gifted maybe more than we are, or we think other people think they are more than we are, and we find ourselves envying them. And to satisfy that envy so that envy isn't working on us too much, we want to bring them down. So, you know, maybe they're a gifted musician, but we find something about, yeah, but, you know, look at the way they dress. I mean, they're like, I can't believe they dress like that in church, whatever. We find something else to tear them down, and it's really just because we're envious of their gifting. The third one, self-promotion. This really comes in two forms. One is simply we want to put others down to make ourselves look better by comparison. The other is we simply want to look good in the eyes of other people because we have information. And so it kind of lifts us up. We want to, you know, we want to be known as the person who has the goods. We've got some information, let's talk. And, you know, we want to be the big shot in the crowd, etc. And it's really just self-promoting. I just want to be seen as someone who's got the information. And then the last one, being a busybody, it's similar to that one, but there is definitely a difference. And that is just, you don't have any hurts in your heart about, you know, you haven't been hurt by this person, or you don't necessarily envy them. You just simply want to talk about private affairs that you've learned about to other people. You know, you want to talk about issues that you have no business talking about. Discussing the private affairs of someone else, being a busybody. So these are the principal reasons why we do it. Not that you really needed me to tell you why we do it, but what I want to talk about now is how do we address that? How do we remove and uproot each and every one of these out of our lives permanently? Well, instead of addressing each one of these issues, this is where I'm making that shift. I want to talk about why is it, let's step back and take a big picture. Let's get God's view on the whole purpose of why we're here. And I want you to know this, that if you really listen to what I'm about to tell you, this will help you in every area of your life. Far bigger than just this issue of gossip. This is a powerful thing to understand. I'm gonna answer the question that all of us have in our hearts, and that is, why am I here? And what does God want from me? Do we not all constantly find ourselves kind of asking that, you know, God, what exactly is it that you want from me? Why am I here? And the answer to that question is two things. This is the whole Christian, I could say it so many different ways. Another way of looking at it is, what is the purpose of Christianity? What's Christianity all about? What is the goal of Christianity? What does God want from me? What does it mean to become Christ-like? You know, all these different ways we could say it. But just the overall encompassing question of, what is Christ-likeness? What's it mean to be like Christ? What does God want for me? What's this Christianity all about? The answer is this. It's two things that God wants from us. Two things He's looking to form in us. Is it already up there? Yes. To walk in love and to live by faith. That's what it's all about. We're here. Once you accept Jesus Christ into your life, this is what God is after. And when you know that, and you can look at everything through this filter, it will help you and me tremendously in our ability to grow in God, because we understand what He's after. What is God looking for out of each one of us? He's looking for us to learn what I simply call the love walk. And number two, how to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. When Jesus was asked this by, there was a group of Pharisees that first they were, you know, trying to trick Jesus, and they were talking to Him about the resurrection from the dead because they didn't believe in the resurrection from the dead, or it's actually the Sadducees that don't believe in that, and they were talking to Jesus about it. They, you know, gave him this story about this man or this woman that had seven brothers as husbands, and then, you know, Lord, who has her as a husband when they get to heaven? Jesus answers that, settles the issue, and then the Pharisees feeling like, okay, they just got snuffed, that's great. Now they step up, and it's their turn, and they're going to try and test Jesus and trick Jesus, and they ask him this simple question: what's the greatest commandment? Because they had so many commandments. What's the greatest one, Lord? And what was his answer? I'm sure you all know the answer to that. What was it? That's right. To love, he said, this is the greatest commandment. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Then he goes on and says, the second is like it. To love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I could talk about all the do's and the don'ts of gossip, slander, and all that. However, if we just go after, you know, don't gossip because blah, 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 it can quickly become law. And that's all it'll be to us is law. And the law is good. It's righteous. It's right, in other words, that we should not because of this and this and this. However, the law is weak through the flesh. In other words, our willpower alone is not enough. It won't keep us there. I believe probably, in fact, the response that I've gotten from this last couple weeks of teaching, honestly, I am just blessed by the response. I really thought this was going to be kind of a little bit of a downer message, but necessary. And so, you know, maybe a lot of people wouldn't be really appreciating the message. Let's just move on. Let's get on something a little more exciting, you know. But actually, I probably had the best response from people on this message than any message I've ever brought. People coming up to me and saying, man, I just never realized how much I gossip. And it's just really, this has brought it to my awareness. And I'm just finding myself stopping right in the middle. I'm at work. I'm talking to someone. And I just stop and say, what am I doing? That's gossip. Someone else came up to me and said, Brad, just the other day, I was in the middle of a sentence. I stopped because I realized that was gossip. Another person said to me, you know, my wife and I were driving to church and I realized we were gossiping. I never thought about that. He started talking about, you know, that protection you feel like you have when, well, it's my wife. I mean, you know, it's my husband. You know, I can talk to him. And then he said to me, I just realized, no, that's still gossip. There's no protection in that. And I said, man, that's a beautiful point. I should bring that up. So I just did. So, you know, you feel like you have that kind of that license because it's your spouse or your best friend or whatever. But a lot of people have said to me, you know, just how much it's really causing them. I mean, they're saying it with delight in their heart, like, this is good, I'm stopping it. And first of all, I just want to say I love that. I love that response. That's the correct response, and it's beautiful. I mean, it would be awesome that every single one of us had that same attitude. This place becomes a place, a house of protection, a house of love. We no longer are going to be, a people of gossip, which, you know, it's not just us, but I mean, it's throughout the body of Christ, it's a real problem. Something like a crazy number, like 80-some percent of churches experience a church split, and the number one reason is gossip. Someone starts a gossip, starts a rumor, lights a fire, church blows up over it. So that's why we are endeavoring to put the nail in the coffin on that one and knock it out. So Jesus addresses this issue. So what I was saying is, if we just address the do's and don'ts of gossip, it's law. It's just going to bring law. We need to get beyond that. I want to take it into another level far greater than that, and that is this issue of love. Because the real reason why we gossip, going a layer deeper than every single one of these, is a lack of love. Love doesn't hold on forgiveness. Love doesn't envy. Love does not self-promote. And love doesn't speak about the private affairs of others, being a busybody. In fact, it's almost word for word the definition of love out of 1 Corinthians 13. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy, does not parade itself. That's being self-promotion. The first one is envy is already in there. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, right? Believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. There's the other one in there that specifically talks about that issue of being a busybody. I can't remember exactly how it words it. Anyone remember that? Well, anyhow, it's in there. Trust me. So, Let's talk about love. There is a scripture that addresses love right in there with sins, the sins of others, and how love responds to it. When you see and you learn the sins of other people, right? Which is where we take that information, we go and we share it with someone else, it becomes gossip. 1 Peter 4:8 says this, "Above all things, have fervent love for one another." For love, here's what love does, love covers a multitude of sins. Similar verse in Proverbs 17:9 says this, "He who covers a transgression seeks love." That's what that person, when a person sees a situation that they could repeat, but they don't, why is that? Because they're wanting to love that person instead. A person who does not discuss a transgression seeks love. But he who repeats a matter separates friends. That's the opposite of it. Let's talk about what love is not first. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about what love is. What love is not is a feeling. And this is the main culprit as to why most of us fail when it comes to this walking in love, doing the love walk. Because we have everything around us constantly reaffirming to us what love is and that love is a feeling. We know that because that's how we respond. When we have ooey-gooey feelings about someone, we begin to express our love. When someone has ooey-gooey feelings about someone else, you see them express their love. And so we have this constant reaffirmation that love is a feeling. And yet God commands us to love everyone. That commandment alone should help us understand a little bit of, have some insight into what love is and what love is not. If, in fact, love is this very special emotion that you sense and feel for somebody else, if that's what love is, then it would be it would be impossible to have that feeling for every person on the planet. And yet God commands us. You know, this is not a great suggestion. He says this is the great commandment, that we love one another. We love people just like we love ourselves. So that should help us understand what love is not. Love is not a feeling. We need to dismiss that. And we only have one example of it. That's why it is hard. It's hard to grasp it. And that example that we have is Jesus. We need to read the Gospels and look at the love being demonstrated by Him, because that is the only example we've ever had on the planet for the love of God. Now, we have others that are imitating Christ. You can follow the apostles and all those who begin to imitate Him, and we can see other people having the same examples of love. Like Paul, when he goes into a town, preaches the gospel, their response is to pick him up, carry him out of town, and stone him to death. The disciples come, lay hands on him. He gets raised from the dead. What does he do? He walks right back into the town and starts preaching again. That is not the human kind of love. Do you think he was feeling great about those people? No, he was choosing, and this is what love is. He was choosing to love them. This is the agape kind of love that God is looking for each one of His children. To choose, as an act of your will, to love. This is why God loves us. God loves us because He is love, and He has made a decision to love us. This is also why it is good to know that our actions are not going to affect God's love towards us. No matter what we do, we cannot increase or decrease God's love, because His love isn't based on us. His love is based on Himself. He has made the choice, the decision, to love us for all of eternity without exception. We can't do anything to change that. Thank God. What God is looking for out of us is to imitate Him, to make the decision as an act of our free will that He gave us. He's saying, will you follow Me and make the decision to love everybody? If we will do that, if love is our choice and our decision, the issue of gossip becomes a non-issue. It just goes away. Love simply will not do it. So that is really the better message to bring about what to do about gossip and how to get rid of gossip is to understand we are called to love, and if we will focus more on the love walk, we don't have to worry about the issue of gossip. It simply goes away. Now, love cannot be done just out of your or my self-determination or, you know, what am I trying to say? Willpower. It won't last. The only way that we will have the capacity, it starts with a decision, but the only way you can maintain that and have the capacity to love is we must receive God's love. God will fill us up, but He is looking for us first to make the decision to love. We make the first step. He's not just like you're having your hand. If your hand is closed and you're saying no to it, He cannot put anything in that hand. We must open up our hand and say yes to love. I am going to love. And when we do that with our heart, we make that choice to do that, we step into that, God will begin to fill us with His love. That's why He told the Israelites in the wilderness, I want to bring you into this land flowing with milk and honey. But He told them, you must step into the river. That which is between you and the promised land, you step into the river. And do you notice that the river did not part until they stepped into it? He didn't say, let me make it easy for you, I'll part it, and then you walk through. He said, you step in, and then I'll part it. We make the first step, and then the power of God comes to meet that decision. He energizes that decision. So we must make the decision to walk in love, and then we must meditate in the Word of God to see how God feels towards us. This is my recommendation to you. This will help you tremendously to be able to grow in love. Start to meditate on Scripture, specifically talking about how much God loves you. Ephesians chapter 1 in particular is a rich chapter, pregnant with understanding of how much God loves us. And if we meditate and begin to get a revelation how much God loves us, when you get filled up with understanding how much He loves you, it really becomes easy to love other people. It's when you feel unloved that it's very difficult to love other people. So we must get filled up with the love of God in order to be able to pass it on. Now, that said, I'm going to move into, since there isn't a whole lot more time, I'm going to go ahead and step into when is it okay to talk to other people about problems that you're having. I'm hoping that the first part, just understanding walking in love, will wipe out the vast majority of it. But now let's talk about those times where we do feel like we need to talk to somebody else. When is it okay to talk to somebody else? You might feel like you need to because you have this major issue. I want to say this, even though I've kind of just said it by talking about the love. The reality is 99% of the time, we really do not need to talk to anybody else. You think you do, you swear that you do, but you really don't. So we just need to be honest about this. The reality is 99% of the time, we do not need to talk to somebody else about the issue. What we need to do is to go before God and pour out our heart to Him. Talk to Him about it. Let Him minister to you. Spend time with Him about the issue. Spend time in His Word, meditating on the Word. Psalm 119 says this, and I love this. It says, though rulers sit together and slander me, your servant will meditate on your decrees. That's his response. Your servant will meditate on your decrees. He didn't say, your servant will go talk to other people about it. Though all these people are talking about me, Lord, your servant will meditate on your decrees. Now, for those times where you feel like you really do need to talk to someone, and I know that there are those times where you're just stuck. You can't seem to get beyond this issue. It's heavy. It's big. You're trying. You're seriously seeking God. You're in the Word. And you just can't get unstuck from this situation. This would be my recommendations to you. I believe this is something that you can do without in any way violating what the Word of God says about slander, gossip, evil speaking, perverse tongue, etc. These areas we do not want to step into. We don't want to give place to the enemy. I showed you in the last teaching how this is absolutely a satanic activity. Satan wants your tongue to begin to bring division between you and other people. So how do we do it without violating that? Number one, find someone who is disconnected from your circle of life to talk to. And you can do that. We can all do that. It may be a counselor. If you don't have anybody else, one, I think, great opportunity is a good friend who lives out of state. Most of us have at least one of those. Someone that you know walks with God, and by all means, talk to someone who walks with God. I mean, Psalm 1:1 starts right out saying, you know, cursed, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, nor stands in the path of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. So he starts off by saying, blessed is the man, this is if you want to be blessed, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So don't go to the ungodly asking them for counsel. Go to someone who's godly, but go to someone outside of your circle of life, meaning they're not involved in any of the people around you that you're dealing with, etc. They don't know them at all. Second thing is, when you talk to them, do not ever use the person's name. There is no need. That little simple thing right there slams the door in the face of the enemy and in the face of your flesh that wants very much to use that person's name. I had a situation even right here, and you know, I didn't want to talk about it, but I ended up at one point feeling like I really wanted to get one other person's perspective to make sure my perspective isn't jacked up, and I was sincere about it. So I called one of my very best friends who lives in another state, and I said, hey, I want to explain something to you, and I'm curious as to your input on this. And I said, I'm not even going to use the person's name. So I made up a name. And we called this, you know, we just made up a person's name. I said, give me a name. And he said, you know, gave me a name. I said, okay, this person did such and such. And this was my response. Now this person's telling other people, blah, blah, blah. What do you think about that situation? So he gave me his input. It was really good. I was like, oh, that's good. He was able to, without any emotional attachment, you know, he's not emotionally attached like I was, give me some possible angles of the other person's perspective I hadn't considered. And that was very helpful. It helped me to have love for that person also. Like, oh, yeah, I never really thought about that. Yeah, I can see how that could, you know, I hadn't thought about that. And then he gave me, you know, his perspective as to, you know, my response and how he can definitely understand how that would be very hurtful, blah, blah, blah. So it was good. But my point is, I spoke to someone who would never meet this person, would never know anyone in my circle of friends here, and doesn't even know the person's name to this day. So it's really a good way to do it and not be in violation of the word. Third thing I would say is, when you're going to talk to that other person, whether it be a friend or a counselor, be brutally honest with that person about what really happened, about your not-so-pretty part about how you did. Don't paint your side all beautiful and then make theirs all ugly, which, you know, we all love to do. Because all you're going to do is you're going to give a distorted view to this counselor, and now they have nothing but distorted information, and guess what you're going to get back? Distorted counsel. And it's your fault. It's no one's fault but your own. You gave them this distorted view. Now all you're doing is you're getting this perverted support for what you already, you know, you prepped it to get to what you wanted to hear. And it's just garbage. So, you know, we want to be brutally honest when we go to talk to someone else. Say, you know what, first of all, I was definitely kind of jacked up when I did this. I was ugly about it. I was not nice. You know, I can, you know, I mean, be honest about everything. And then you're going to get an honest response and an honest counsel. Amen? All right, now I'm going to meddle just a little bit more. I'm going to bring it home for us here. What if I have a problem with the leadership in this church? There are two things you can do. You can have an ungodly response to it, or you can have a godly response. So first I want to talk to you about the ungodly response. What if you're really having a problem? Now, how many of you have heard stories about, you know, either you yourself have experienced or have you heard stories about other people who had a problem with the leadership in the church they were in? Can I see your hand? Okay. That's the majority here. It's extremely common, is my point. That's why I'm asking you to raise your hand on that one. It's big, so it's worth talking about. How do you deal with it? Now, I realize it can seem a little bit self-serving because I'm in leadership of this church. But I don't know any way to do it because whether I do it or Joshua does or Peter does, we're all in leadership. So you have to hear from one of us. So I'll be the one that does it. So we're going to talk about the biblical response to how do you deal with, you've got issues with leadership in the church. And one of the reasons I'm doing it is because I want to prevent, we've already had a little bit of a blow up over it, and we need not ever experience that again. It was nonsense. It was so silly. It was just the enemy getting in. He took advantage of us, and it's really a shame. So let's never let that happen again. So let's talk about how do we do it? How do we handle it when it does happen? Because you're going to have issues. Guess what? We're all human, right? Including the leadership. So, you know, there's different flavors. You know, God gave us the 31 different flavors, and it's a beautiful thing. So we're not always going to be on the same page with everyone. So how do we deal with it? There's a godly and an ungodly response. Number one, two ways to respond to it in an ungodly fashion. What would be the first one? Gossip. All right, so let's go gossip to other people and bring dissension. Yeah. So there's one godly, ungodly response. The second one is don't gossip about it, but let's make life hell for that leader. And that is a response. A lot of people do, and they feel very spiritual about it because, you know what, I haven't gossiped. I haven't talked to anybody about it, but they make life hell for that leader. So those are two possible responses, and they're both ungodly. So let's talk about the godly responses. Number one, this would be my strong encouragement to you, talk to God first. Go to Him. And I don't mean go to Him one time and say, you know, God, I'm all ticked off because, you know, Joshua or Brad or Peter, blah, 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 whatever, you know. And so, well, I prayed about it. I went to God. I talked to Him about it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about really take it to God with the idea, the intention, the motivation of your heart. I want to get His heart on this matter. Maybe, just maybe, I'm the one that's jacked. And let's find out. I would endeavor to say that invariably, every single time, if you do that, if I do that with a good heart, I mean, really go to God. I'm talking about bathe it in prayer for months. I'm not talking about one time. I'm talking about go to God with the matter, right? Spend time with God. And I can tell you that the majority of the time, you'll either come out where there is no longer an issue at all. It's gone. God has dealt with it in your heart. You know what I'm saying? Like He actually straightens out some things in your heart. Or there will at least be some adjustment in your heart. The issue's still there. You still feel like it's something that needs to be spoken about. But your heart will have been at least somewhat adjusted. If nothing else, tenderized, sweetened to the matter. Because that's God's daughter or God's son that you're talking about, and God loves them, and God's going to bring you a perspective that you don't have or I don't have about that person. So first, let's take it to God. Let's bask it in prayer and let God speak to our hearts about it. He will change our hearts to be more like His heart. Then, number two, if the issue is still where you feel like you need to address it, go to that person in leadership and talk to them about it. There's no problem with that. But you're going to come to them now with a sweet spirit. You're going to come to them in the love of God because you took the time to let God speak to you. So then you go and you talk to them. At the end of that, after you spent time with them lovingly talking to that leader, chances are the two of you are going to find a beautiful, sweet place that's going to work. But if you don't, taking it the next step, what if you go to the leader, you've spoken to God, you've sweetened up on it, you've gone and spoken to the person, and you still... You know, they just aren't seeing it your way. What do you do? Always a safe place. I like it. Well, I would say at that point, you really have two options. One, submit to it. And respect the authority that God's put in the church and submit to it. Just say, okay, you know. You think the music should be this way? I think it should be that way. You're the leader. I'm not. God's the one that puts you in this place. I either trust that you're here by God or I shouldn't be here in the first place. So submit to it because really what you're doing is you're submitting to God. Submit to it and just go on and submit to it with a glad heart. Do it gladly. Or the other option is you decide this is not the place for you, and if you do that, I would say you need to make sure you've got the word from God that it's okay for you to do this, to leave. I remember one time, this is where I learned this, I was completely treated wrong in a church, like really bad. Like if I told you what the deal was, there would be zero question in the house. You'd be like, that's jacked up. I mean, it was bad. So I'm done. I'm leaving because it was from the leadership. So I'm like, I'm out of here for sure, right? And I was leaving, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, you did not ask me. I never even thought of it. I'm like, what? Are you serious? Why do I even need to ask you? I mean, you saw what just happened. So anyhow, but I didn't say that. I just like, you know, he just froze me right there. And I was like, oh, okay. So, Lord, is it okay if I leave? No. And he does clear as day. No. Okay, great. So I stayed there for months. And, you know, it was a beautiful thing. God did a great work in them, did a great work in me. And so it was all good. But it was just really, it was powerful. The lesson I got out of that was God was saying, am I the one that directed you? You told everyone God brought you to this church, right? Am I the one that directed you to this church? Am I the one that places the shepherd over my sheep? So is it not also my call for when you leave that shepherding? Before you go and get a new shepherd? In other words, we need to be seeking God about what church we're going to. When we go to a church, is this of God? God, do you want me here? And we need to be talking to him about, is it time for me to leave? Too many people just move around from church to church every time there's something they don't like about that church. They just move and go to another church. That's not of God. There's no growth in that. There's no maturity in that. So, number one, submit to the leadership. If, you know, after you've done all these steps, it's still just not jiving. Number one, submit to it in gladness. Or number two, talk to God, and if you feel the release, leave. And if you leave, leave with a gladness of heart and with the lip zipped, never speaking a word to anybody else. Because this is between you and God and that leadership, nobody else. That's the godly approach. Amen? So, I'm just going to leave it with that. There was so much more I could bring to that, but we've already spent 3 weeks on this topic. I think the heart of it has been made known from the Word of God, and that's the rest of it is really going to be up to you if you're serious about your walk with God, which I know you are. Serious about walking in the love of God. You need to continue to meditate on that. Think about it. You know what I mean? This is just, all I'm doing is just opening the door to the introduction of understanding from the Word of God what He has to say about gossip and how to handle gossip. So it's not by any means an exhaustive teaching. There are scriptures that talk about exactly how to deal with gossip. You know, go to your brother, talk to him. If he repents, you know, that sin, great, you've won him. If not, go get others and bring them. There's other scriptures that say confess your sins one to another, which really isn't gossip anyhow. That's you talking to them about your problems. You're allowed to do that. But then if they go off, talk to someone else. So anyhow, there's a lot of scriptures I could bring talking about what the Bible says about gossip. I wanted to give more of a general overview. The heart, the spirit of it, I guess is a good way to say it. I wanted to talk about the spirit of it. Amen? Praise God. Let's bring our tithes and offerings to the Lord. So for those of you who have are going to service in that area, Father, let's pray. Let's pray with that. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you so much, Father, for your love for us and your teaching us how to walk in love. Father, just teach us your kind of love, the kind of love that sets the captives free. We bless you and praise you for it. And Father, right now we lift up to you our tithes and our offerings and ask your hand upon that, Father, that your provision would be in our lives, Father, in this area as well. Lord, we want to bless the kingdom of God to cause the kingdom of God to grow in this earth, Father, and we want your hand to be upon us in our finances, Father, that we would have even more to give, Lord, in the future, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. By your grace, I'm free.
madly in love with us. Just open your hands up. This is a sign of just being just open to His love. That's so much of what's needed, is that we would open ourselves up to the love of God. Father, we want to know Your love. We want to experience Your love. We want to live in Your love. We want to give Your love away. We want to experience Your love that covers over a multitude of our sins. And then we want to walk in love that covers over a multitude of other sins. So we just say, Father, we want to be a people full of Your love. So Father, pour it out on us. Pour it out on us all day today. As we leave this place, as we go home, as we go to work, as we go to school this week. Lord, we want to look for Your love. We want to press in, seek, and find Your love, Lord. Thank You, God. Thank You for Your love. For a blessing on each of you to experience the love of God in a deeper way this week. In Jesus' name. Bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. If anyone needs prayer, come on up here to stand. Someone will come and pray with you. Bless you. Great week.